WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, calming fears over the president and Parkinson's after visits from a specialist to the White House. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
Late last night, the president's personal doctor revealed President Biden has not seen a neurologist outside of his annual physical.
Mr. Biden welcomes world leaders to the NATO summit in Washington, a day after insisting he will not drop out of the presidential race. Tropical Depression Beryl now blamed for 8 deaths and massive destruction. Timpson, Texas Mayor Deborah Smith.
We have roof damage. We have ceiling tiles coming out. We have lines down. So, yeah, it's just a lot of water on the ground. It's a mess.
More than 2.3 million customers are still without power. A coast-to-coast heat wave is dragging on. CBS's Carter Evans.
It was so hot in New York City Monday, the Third Avenue Bridge to the Bronx expanded too much and got stuck open.
Carter in Las Vegas, where the high for today is 118. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A group trying to recall Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is appealing last week's decision that their efforts fell short. The Wisconsin Elections Commission ruled about 190 petition signatures were gathered after the deadline. The group is asking a Dane County judge to issue a ruling. Delegates and other visitors to the Republican National Convention aren't the only ones who'll have to worry about getting around Milwaukee next week. County Executive David Crowley.
There are folks who live within that security perimeter, and they will have extra security parameters to go through when they are going home. And I know that the Secret Service and the law enforcement officials have been in contact with them.
Crowley tells Wisconsin Eye the emergency management and sheriff's departments bear a lot of the responsibility to ensure a smooth-running convention. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A Chippewa Valley nonprofit has received an over $30,000 grant thanks to Rock Falls Raceway and their annual Badgers Classic. According to a WEAU report, the raceway held a 3-day drag racing event and raised nearly $32,000 for Joshua's Camp, an organization that gives back to families in the community, particularly families with children dealing with cancer. Over their years of support, Rock Falls Raceway has reportedly raised over $100,000 for Joshua's Camp. The city of Augusta held its 48th annual Bean and Bacon Days at Augusta's Lions Field over the holiday weekend to celebrate both Independence Day and the city's history. According to a WEAU report, the yearly event featured activities like a petting zoo, demolition derby, and fireworks for residents of all ages to enjoy. Organizers said they are always looking for new activities to add each year to continue building on the city's tradition. They also thanked the city, Bush's Beans, and the Lions Club for their support. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the Brewers and the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opening a 3-game series at home tonight against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Colin Ray will get the start for Milwaukee. Garrett Mitchell off to a slow start at the plate. The 25-year-old center fielder just 3-for-17 with a batting average of .176. I asked him what's been the biggest hurdle coming back from shoulder surgery last year and then a broken hand this year.
I never felt like throughout the whole process that there was a big hurdle. I would say, obviously, like when you come into spring training, right, you got to kind of get all of the soreness and like baseball stuff, you know, get back into shape again. So I think the biggest part was probably just kind of getting through the soreness. But after like the first week of being back, it was pretty normal again.
Basketball, the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo packing his bags for the Olympics in Paris. Later this month, he led Team Greece to qualify for the games with a win over Croatia. They'll compete with 12 other teams for a gold medal, including France, Australia, and the U.S. Giannis is 29 years old. This will be his first time at the Olympics. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm this afternoon and again tomorrow. Otherwise, pretty nice this week, and we're going to warm it up. Partly cloudy, 82 today, 62 tonight, 82 tomorrow. We're talking highs in the mid to upper 80s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now.
800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we're live from Wisconsin Dells on our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour. Will Todd be on a duck boat? Find out.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
To let me know, should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time. So you got to let me know, should I stay or should I go? It's always tease, tease.
All right, welcome back to a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, Project 2025. You know, I was looking at some of the things yesterday. You began an overview of Project 2025. And you know, you talk about some of these things as I was kind of going through some of the things that they are projecting. And you clearly on yesterday pointed out some of those things. Where do you want to begin today?
Well, I just quickly summarize. I think when you read Project 2025 and you read the foreword of it, where you're getting the flavor of the intent and the purpose, that's really some of the most frightening rhetoric I've seen. It's a manifesto, a conservative polemic manifesto. And by polemic, I mean an argument that's made stridently and very ideologically with all kinds of statements designed to maybe push intellect aside and cry out and reach for emotion as the thing that you're trying to titillate with the foreword. And so they talk a great deal there about the left. And they paint a straw man image of America that is dominated by the left, saying that the left is in control of government, it's in control of academia, meaning the universities in this country, and it's in control of corporations. Okay, the left, and they don't describe what it is about the left that's so very worrisome, other than painting a notion that that families are under assault. And that there is somehow an attack on Christian values that needs to be righted, okay? And when you look at the forward, that's what you come away with, is a sense that this is really all about writing a manifesto, trying to get government to solve what they view as an extreme cultural moral problem in the country that is created by the left. And it's very focused on gender issues and race issues, those being the things that the left, that this, they use the term the Great Awakening, that is part of what is the left. And so, okay, with that in mind, then you read the rest of it, and the rest of it, much of it is in the weeds of government, okay? But the very first part of it relates and talks about how it is that the White House and the business of the White House needs to be reorganized. And the premise of the Project 2025 is that the agencies that currently exist in government, most of them need to be diminished in size very materially, number one, so that they do and are capable of doing far less than they do now. That's number one. Number two, that the agencies need to have to be controlled in a far greater way by far more people who are political appointments appointed directly by the president rather than members of the civil service, because they say directly that they think the civil service of the United States is infected by and controlled by the left. And they want to make sure that the president can appoint people deep down into every agency, and that we move from, when you do some people have done a headcount trying to analyze how many political appointments by the president would there be before 2025 and after, and the number goes from about 5,000 political appointments up to maybe 30,000. Now, first of all, the job of finding 30,000 competent people by a White House and installing them in the first 6 months, hiring 30,000 people in 6 months who are competent to do the things that are necessary to do. First of all, we found out in Trump's first White House how much trouble he had filling the appointments that he had available then. Many of them went unfilled forever, okay? But the person who wrote the section of 2025 that is about the White House was the head of the personnel agency under Trump. And he understood the problems that Donald Trump had running a business. So much of this seems to be aimed basically at Donald Trump talking, because it talks about, gee, how very important the chief of staff is in the White House, and it needs to be a position that of stability, okay? How many chiefs?
There's never stability.
How many chiefs of staff were there in Donald Trump's first White House?
Four
of them, okay? Right. And they all were subjected to public humiliations and firings. He talks then about how that central chief of staff is going to have to very much enlarge the numbers of people who operate within the White House, because the job of the White House after Project 2025 will be to be hands-on micromanaging the functions of all of the different agencies and all of the political appointees who are now plugged into these different agencies. And so, the discussion of the changes in the White House, while some of them might sound like this is all just good business, you need to figure out how to get better control and wrap your arms around business, the business of the United States government. The fact is that if Project 2025 gets implemented, the job of the White House will be impossible. It will be the biggest bottleneck that could be understood to exist in any sort of large enterprise, because everything will need to get cleared through the White House. Everything, every policy change will be actually instructed by and directed by the White House and by the policies of the president. Now, people can say, well, that's good. That'll be, the government will be more responsive to the people who elect the president. But we elect red presidents and we elect blue presidents. And are we really going to tolerate a national government that is like a pendulum that swings this direction and that direction on all of the operations of, for instance, the Federal Food and Drug Administration, the operations of the FAA, the operations of the Environmental Protection Agency? I mean, I was an environmental lawyer for a long time. One of the cries of industry was, tell us what we need to do with the environment and give us time to do it, and let's have some stability associated with the regulation of the environment. Well, that stability will go out the window with this kind of a process where every 4 years, a new president will find 30,000 political appointees to plug into all of the different agencies to take control of the agencies. It's crazy. To me, it was mind-boggling. For someone who spent a lifetime, either 2 years in government or the rest of my lifetime, interacting with government and the regulations of government, this was a document that is a pipe dream document of people who want to create a very, very powerful White House.
Well, you know, Sandy, The guy earlier. Why did I forget his name?
From Brooklyn?
No, from Gary.
Oh, Gary.
Gary said, we're scaring people with this information that you are providing to the listening audience. Why would people be, what you are doing is verbatim responding, sounding back to what you've read. You didn't write, you didn't add anything to this text, did you?
No, First of all, it's 900 pages, and I felt like I was back in school for the last weekend and the last days reading this thing, trying to drink enough coffee. But actually, it was interesting because I have spent a lifetime sort of relating to public policy, and this document is all about public policy. But it's a frightening polemic, and it's as if the document was written by people, conservatives, it's a conservative wish list. When you get to the part about the Department of Defense, every part of the Department of Defense, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, all of them need to get rebuilt, enlarged, more money spent on it. I mean, it's, the notion of how that, what the budget would be to carry the cost of what is talked about there is unbelievable. It's hardly a conservative view of at least fiscal responsibility.
So passing sweeping tax cuts, limiting the U.S. role in NATO, this is all part of Project 2025, developing new nuclear weapons, abolishing the Department of Education and National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration. Why would they want to do that?
Well, because one of the underlying theories that is rife throughout this whole thing is that the notion of climate change is something that the government ought to totally ignore. And it is even said, and I'm going to be paraphrasing because I'm not looking at the pages, it's even said here that they're worried that the left is too cynical to about human nature to be confident that the future generations will simply, with their innovation and with the power of the marketplace, be able to cope with the climate change that will be created by the conduct of man today, as well as the undercurrent of climate change, which is ongoing. When science tells us that mankind is vastly accelerating with our conduct, the rate of climate change, and that science is telling us that the effect of climate change will be very dramatic, will cost trillions of dollars to deal with. So we're simply, the conservatives here are saying, look, don't worry about climate change tomorrow. Kick that can down the road to our innovative future progeny and let their marketplace solve the problems. Meanwhile, we're going to prosper today. We're going to drill wherever we can. We're going to stop planning for renewables. We're going to stop investigating and doing pure science investigating renewables. We're going to focus on the energy sources that exist today, and we're going to expand them as completely as we can. So they want to take the Bureau of Land Management and say and tell them to take all of the federal land and allow it to be exploited.
844-967-2789 is the number. You know, it's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And as promised, Project 2025, your thoughts. 844-967-2789.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. It's been a while since I was out of work, but I remember that grind of looking and that occasional suffocating feeling of anxiety like it was yesterday. If that's where you're at, and you don't mind if I encourage you to try something, because I am sure you're pretty tired of hearing people say, have you tried to do ba-da-da, or have you thought about ga-ga-ga? I'd like to recommend a project. Make a budget. Pulling together a monthly budget can help reduce your money stress, even if it doesn't make money magically appear. knowing what you have to spend and where you want to trim is better than just closing your eyes and letting those bills pile up. And taking charge of your current financial situation, that can be an important contribution to your mental health as well as your and your family's well-being. You can get started today. I've got a video about how to make a budget on Work Money's YouTube channel. All the resources at workmoney.org are free to anyone looking for help spending less and saving more. And hey, if you're between jobs, keep your chin up. You got this.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
If you're down and confused, and you don't remember who you're talking to, concentration, slip away.
All right, welcome back to a Tuesday edition of the Early Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. I mean, Tuesday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, you chose the music again.
Yeah, it's all about people making tough decisions, okay? And lots of the music ends up being tough decisions about love, but the language, a lot of it is very pertinent to the decisions that are to be made, I think, by both the presidential candidate Biden and the Democratic Party.
I think listening to the lyrics, I'm very well thought out. Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. How you doing, sir?
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I don't think we're going to have to, if Trump ever gets in, I don't think we're going to have to worry about every 4 years changing the rules, regulations, the approach to everything from the FDA's food safety to the OSHA regulations. The Republicans, excuse me, the MAGA rhinos, because there are no Republicans left in that party anymore. They're very clear. They want a 50-year right. I mean, excuse me, MAGA rule. I mean, that's right out there. That's been stated in several of the media that I've seen. I remember reading that in an article in Newsweek. So that won't be an issue. I mean, we'll have the same denial of reality and the same approach to our government for the next 50 years, if they ever get in. At least that's their plan. Now, Project 2025 is partially cloaked on the lie that big government's intruding into American lives. I guess that's true to a limited extent. Almost all of us, for example, contribute during our entire working lives to Social Security, which is our national pension program, and Medicare, our national retirement medical insurance program. And these extremists would either end or severely curtail those programs. I don't think most of us want that. What they really mean is big government has had the strength to create regulations on corporations to control some of their most outrageous actions. And it probably started going back almost to the turn of the last century with the Food and Drug Administration. Before the FDA, toxic additives were put into food to make it appear better. Some foods, like meats in particular, were produced in conditions that could only be described as filthy. Given their proposed elimination of major protective agencies from the EPA to OSHA to NOAA, there's a clear intent to ignore climate change as well. And these wouldn't just essentially destroy America. They potentially would damage the entire world, and irrevocably so. The worst, in my opinion, in addition to replacing qualified personnel with lackeys and bootlickers, is this. It's the requirement that all scientific and regulatory findings have to be in alignment with so-called conservative principles. These are not conservative principles, by the way, but that's what they call them. But in other words, here's what they want. They'll determine the outcome. Qualified regulators and scientists then will have to find 11,780 votes. Oh, excuse me, no. I mean, they'll have to find or produce data to back up these predetermined results. It's the most dangerous approach to complete denial of reality that, as a scientist, I've ever seen. I mean, this is just one of the most dangerous approaches to governing that I've seen in my 80 years on this planet.
Hey, Jack, thank you very much for the call. Before we go back to the phone line, Sandy, this is Steve, straight from the Atlantic. Have Republicans not learned anything from World War II and Hitler? 15 un-American ideas by Trump. He promised to destroy the federal government as we know it, argued he should be immune from prosecution, intimidated judges and witnesses, continues to lie about elections being stolen from him, excuses the violence and the sedition of January 6th, entertained pardoning himself, gave Jews a hard time for not voting for him, suggested execution of Mark Milley, Pence, and promised to lock up political opponents. Let's go back to Mike from Kenosha. Mike, you say what?
Yeah, thanks. You know, a couple things that I've learned is this has been a long plan coming. And the key part of it, and a couple of your callers had alluded to it recently, the key part of it is demonizing the left. Reagan started it, and it just snowballed from there. Rush Limbaugh took the ball and ran from there, and Fox News, and then the whole right-wing machine. The left has been the boogeyman, as they convey it to their audience. The right-wing media conveys it to their audience since day one. It's been a war. They declared war on us, and now we're just starting to see the end result. But very quickly, the public servants, the ones that Project 2025 wants to replace with lackeys, that may be as critical part of our democratic infrastructure as any parts of our Constitution. But I, again, the last thing is, show me on Project 2025 that anything that correlates or that's in rhythm with the U.S. Constitution. I don't see it. And for anybody to support this, then you're obviously supporting the end of the United States of America. I mean, that's just the darn truth. So, must call it out.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. Sandy?
Well, yeah.
It wasn't hyperbole, was it?
No. When you dig deep into it, I mean, one of the biggest problems with this whole notion of causing all of the federal government to become highly responsive to whomever it is that sits in the White House is to create a volatility of policy, a policy abroad. How will our allies and how will people abroad be able to take America seriously if everything that is said by America is only good for the four-year term of the presidency? And if what's intended here is that we won't have four-year terms, but we'll have long-term autocrats, I mean, that's the solution. When everything is the responsibility of the head of state, then the head of state has to stay there for a long time in order for there to be any stability or any credibility internationally or even nationally. And so the people who are writing this have to think, they should sit back and think, when we create all power in the president, we are creating a monster. And just from the standpoint of good, sound practices, if that person is in charge of everything, then that person has to stay there for a long period of time in order for there to be any stability in our life, any credibility with respect to our dealings with others. And so, you know, when you look at what they talk about in state and defense, The document says that there are large swaths of the State Department personnel who are left-wing, okay? This is what Mike was just talking about, painting the enemy as the capital L left.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. What say you? You're tuned in to Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show, 540 AM WAUK and Civic Media.
This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More Wisconsin families could qualify for free and reduced-price school lunches this year. The Department of Public Instruction is out with new income guidelines. A family of four can make up to $40,560 a year to qualify for free lunches, and families can make up to $57,720 to qualify for reduced-price lunches. Pro-democracy advocates say they're pleased with Friday's Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling making ballot drop boxes legal again. They say it sends a clear message to the entire country.
Especially after the year we've had with bringing new maps after living under the extreme partisan gerrymander that we've lived under for over a decade. It's a message of hope.
Nick Ramos is with the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A Cadott farm has been asked to host the annual Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, an expo meant to share advancements in agricultural technology with farmers across the state. According to a WEAU report, Close Farms in Cadott will hold the event, which could see hundreds of vendors. Jamie and Renee Close, the owners of the farm, say they're expecting to welcome thousands of people from around the Midwest at their farm. The last time the expo was hosted by a Chippewa County farm was way back in 2004. The property hosting a classic drive-in movie theater in Chautauqua could soon be sold. According to a WQOW report, the Stardust Drive-In Movie Theater is the only such theater in the area, and owner Nick Meyer is hoping to sell the property to someone who will keep it as a drive-in theater for the community. According to Meyer, his plan was always to sell the property about 5 years after purchasing it, but he says he will only sell it to someone who has a similar vision and dedication to keeping the movie magic for residents. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you liked Top Gun Maverick, you might like Brad Pitt's new film, F1. Pitt plays racer Sonny Hayes, a former Formula One driver who returns to the sport and mentors a rookie teammate. The film crew rolled cameras at actual Formula One events to add an element of authenticity. The teaser just dropped for the film that is being helmed by Top Gun Maverick director Joseph Kosinski and is produced by Jerry Bruckheimer for Apple TV. F1 is scheduled to open in theaters in June of 2025. Kris Kardashian never misses a chance to discuss intimate medical information in exchange for ratings. The 68-year-old says she struggled with when to tell her family about some health issues she's been dealing with. What better way to use her pseudo-reality show platform to inform, through tears, not only her family, but anyone watching that she has a cyst on her ovary? Will the Kardashians finally practice humility, or will the surgery be broadcast for all to see? Stay tuned. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm this afternoon and again tomorrow. Otherwise, pretty nice this week, and we're going to warm it up. Partly cloudy, 82 today, 62 tonight, 82 tomorrow. We're talking highs in the mid to upper 80s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 71.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday marks the opening of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. We'll talk a bit about some of the educational aspects of what's happening in Chippewa Falls.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Sandy, you sure this isn't my music? Yeah, do it till you're satisfied.
Takes a while to get the lyrics.
I know. I know the music. All right, welcome back to a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My co-host Sandy Williams is talking about Project 2025. Sandy, you wanted to...
Yeah, I just thought I...
Some stuff you wanted
yeah,
to
Yeah, I just think it's important maybe to get into a little bit into the details of what it is that's in there. You know, for instance, their discussion about... the State Department and the Defense Department, and what they're worried about is left wing infiltrating these agencies. So they say the military has the left wing ideas imposed from above. they talk about eliminating the Marxist indoctrination and divisive critical race theory programs and abolish the DEI policies of the military. Much of it talks about and worries about LGBTQ and gender dysphoria issues as if they are major issues to be contended with and written out, okay? When in fact, a very limited number of the population relates to this. And it's while it's important from a civil liberty standpoint, it's not an assault on families, but what this 900-page compendium tries to do is create a notion that the left, and the only thing I can connect it to is this question of policies associated with LGBTQ and gender dysphoria is somehow implementing an assault on the American family. Okay, which. There's a total disconnect there in my mind because there's nothing that is detracting from the nuclear families that I have or you have based on the extension of civil liberties or the notion of looking into an awareness about the American history or embedded social issues associated with racism. They want to just eliminate all of that as well as eliminating any consideration in our government policies associated with global warming, okay? And so with respect to the Defense Department, there's some sort of alarming things that they describe. They want to make sure that we improve the private sector rates of return on defense contracts so that it's easier. Now, this is like written, but this is a wish list from apparently Grumman or one of the defense contractors because they say then there'll be more defense more defense expenditures and capital available, but they don't talk about increasing the number of businesses. They just want to increase the profit of dealing with the government and in the military side. They want to make sure we increase weapon sale across the world because they want to make sure America is the arsenal of democracy, okay? So while it talks about backing out of NATO and causing Europe to have to basically contend with all of what is embedded in Article 5, meaning that if the troops, we have to commit troops. They say the United States should back off and basically provide a nuclear umbrella and the nuclear deterrent capacity to NATO, but let NATO basically deal with the issues that are embedded in NATO. But at the same time, we want to make sure that NATO uses the American arsenal because we want to be the arsenal for democracy and make sure that our weapons industry is even more profitable. So, you know, they want to make sure that there is an audit of all curriculum and health policies in DOD schools to get rid of inappropriate materials. And what they're talking about there is...
Pornography?
No, they're talking... You would think that would be the case. No, they're talking about the notion that there's critical race theory that's being talked about and that there is this improper effort to teach children that America is a racist society. That's what they think is the impact of teaching children about the fact that racism has been a part of American history. I guess they want to ignore Jim Crow, for instance, as being something that was embedded in our history. With respect to Homeland Security, they say DHS has also suffered from the left's wokeness and weaponization against Americans, whom the left perceives as its political opponents. Now, they get into details there and want to talk about how there was the analysis of the Russian the Russian interference with the 2016 election, and they want to talk then about how all that was maybe weaponized against political opponents. But again, this is all about left's wokeness, and the what they want to do is shift our immigration policy dramatically. They want to use the military to enforce border policy, so we would have the U.S. military engaged in military activities on our soil and at our border. They want to change the conditions for legal immigration from what they are now, which is basically randomized and allowing the huddled masses of the world to come, just a la the Ellis Island message. But they want to change it to a skill-based standard. They want to substantially reduce immigration and make sure that instead of the rest of the world sending us your huddled masses, they want us to send us your skilled scientists, okay? It's a dramatic shift in what America has stood for and what our immigration policies are. They worry a great deal, and it's embedded throughout the thing, throughout the whole discussion of our foreign policy, including our foreign aid. They worry about the global abortion industry, okay? I don't know what facts underlie the notion that there is a global abortion industry, but they want to make sure that our foreign aid does nothing to promote a global abortion industry. And in fact, they suggest that our foreign aid ought to be shifted from what it is now to something that is basically premised on giving foreign aid to nations through religious organizations that might be located in those various countries.
I.e. Christian.
Well, I think that's the unstated word. That is the nature of most of the religious organizations who are located around the world.
Right.
That on behalf of at least American religious organizations located around the world. With respect to the CIA, as with all of the other agencies, they want to basically have a purge. They want to make sure that they get something closer to ideological purity and alignment with the president. Now, there does need to be obviously policy alignment with respect to a lot of these things, but what has happened in the past and what we have counted on with respect to someone like Donald Trump is that there will be an experienced adult in the room, experienced in the area that is involved of the government, who will step forward and say, Mr. President, that might not be a good idea, and here's why, okay? And what we're going to do with if Project 2025 gets enacted is there won't be any of those people in the room. There will only be the political minions, the people who are so-called aligned with the president's policies, who will be sitting in the room, who won't be able to come forward and say, you know, Mr. President, I'm not sure it's a good idea that we invade Iran. I'm not sure, okay, of all these things. They want, in the military, they want to basically have a purge of the officer corps. They say that the officer corps has been infected by the left, and that's because policies have been imposed downward from the White Houses of Obama and Biden that have infected the military with the at the top levels. And with respect to the bottom levels, they worry about recruitment, but some of their steps to improve recruitment include requiring that every student in a secondary school that receives federal funds or government funds should be required to take the military entrance exam. Okay. Now, I don't know what that's. Yes. Now, it doesn't mean that they are going to go into the military, but it means that they're going to have to take the military entrance exam. It also.
Public schools?
Public schools. Only public schools. It turns out private schools don't have to do this. So I guess maybe our military will be basically staffed by public school graduates. Because that's where they're going to have the greatest leverage with respect to recruitment. And then they want to establish recruiting processes that are far broader than they are now. and they want to make sure that the story that's told in recruitment is ideologically sound. Education. Well, let's go to ag. Much of ag looks like a wish list for corporate farmers. They want to change the way the government relates to farming. And when you look through it and try to understand it, you realize that most of it is designed to deal with making sure that farming and the way the government supports farming is all about supporting efficient farming, okay? Efficient farming is a code term for 3,000-acre farms, 6,000-acre farms, corporate farms, okay? They want to make sure that there is written out of all government policy any favoring of renewable energy or sustainable farming techniques. These are things that people are looking at today as ways to not only improve the global warming effect of farming, but also to change farming so that it produces foods which might actually be healthier for the human beings. But the policy here is related only to efficiency. Education, their section on education is almost entirely about vouchers and making sure that vouchers are expanded. They're expanded by the federal government. They also want to make sure that state money that's given to states is given in block grants, which is then going to be designed to allow the states to use those block grants to further enlarge the voucher programs in all the states. Vouchers, of course, are primarily used in parochial schools. The private schools that receive vouchers, first of all, if you just look at the universe of private schools, a significant majority of private schools are parochial schools. So the outcome of that is quite clear. They want to diminish loan forgiveness. They want to make loans less available. They have a whole discussion about, and the proof of the need for vouchers is related to a bunch of graphs they show about test results in 2021 and 2022, showing a diminished result on, for instance, math testing. But what it really shows is that the COVID period caused this reduction. If you line up COVID and the graphs, you can see that COVID was the intervening impact that changed the nature of the test results. The other thing it shows is the test results went up during the very period when schools were all being told to teach to the test, okay? So test results went up because teaching to the test came into play. It's not clear that students were learning more, but they were learning how to take tests better. But they're using that data to demonstrate why vouchers are the answer. The coal and gas industry. The coal and gas industry must have written the section on energy that is in Project 2025, because they basically want to deflect from and deny any government attention to renewables. They want to end support of renewables. They want to end the planning in the electric grid that is designed to deal with future renewable construction. And they want to shift back towards the coal and gas industry in every fashion. So I guess they want us to exhaust our coal and gas resources first before we then shift to what is going to replace it in the world.
So guys, hang on the phone lines. We'll definitely come back to you. You know, Sandy, all of these things you're talking about didn't come to fruition in 24 hours or 48 hours. They've been planning this for decades.
Well, the document was written in 2023.
Yeah, but
and it was the result of, I'm sure, a year or two of work. But furthermore, every 4 years, they come out with a document like this. So this thing has been evolving.
Yeah, it has. 844-967-2789. We'll come right to the phone lines. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion, yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring, and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. Sandy, really purposeful music today, and why?
Yeah, well, Joe Biden's and the Democratic Party have a decision to make, and I think this is Joe Biden saying this. If he could sing this song, he'd probably be singing this song. Huh?
All right, let's go to Dave from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Dave. Your thoughts?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for doing this. And Sandy, thank you for reading that document. I'm struck by the author's obsession with the purging of leftists from public institutions. It sounds to me like a new McCarthyism. Sandy, do they define what a leftist is in that document? Because I have the Wikipedia little summary of left-wing politics that I would like to read.
Yeah, well, you should, because no, they don't define it. And what they do, it's sort of like MAGA, Make America Great Again. They don't tell you how they're going to make it great or what era they're going to go back to. And left is simply left to your imagination. Whatever it is that you don't like, or whoever it is you don't like, you put a capital L on the word left, and you hang that label on them.
Here's a brief three-sentence summary of left-wing politics from Wikipedia. Left-wing politics describes the range of political ideologies that support and seek to achieve social equality in egalitarianism, often in opposition to social hierarchy as a whole. Left-wing politics typically involve a concern for those in society whom its adherents perceive as disadvantaged relative to others, as well as a belief that there are unjustified inequalities that need to be reduced or abolished. Supporters of left-wing politics claim that human development flourishes when individuals engage in cooperative, mutually respectful relations that can thrive only when excessive differences in status, power, and wealth are eliminated. Now, to me, you would have to be a sociopath to disagree with those ideals.
Well, Don, you know what, Dave, you know what that sounds like to me? The definition of Christianity. What you just said, yeah. Those are the precepts of Christianity.
Yeah, well, the Project 2025 uses the capital L left, much the way the capital C for communist is used. Uh, it's it's undefined because it is, I think, a McCarthyist kind of a concept for people to adopt when they want to decide who is their enemy without defining what it is that makes them their enemy. Much of the thing is, and I'm quoting here from what they want the White House to make sure is implemented throughout the government. They want to avoid social engineering and to promote core values. Okay. Now, I don't know quite what social engineering is, but I think it's what you just described is what they are paraphrasing and trying to denigrate and vilify as the enemy. Social engineering, I guess, is something that's supposed to be an assault on the family if you read between the lines and between their lines. And core values, I'm not sure what that is, except I think it has to do with making sure that people don't fall prey to all this LGBTQ or gender dysphoria kind of stuff, as if those are core values that are being promulgated against the notion of family values by the left. And the whole thing is a straw man. The book is premised on a straw man description of who the enemy is and what they're trying to accomplish. And, you know, when you build a straw man, it's pretty easy to attack it.
You know, Sandy, the whole premise of it, again, is their fellow countrymen who's on the left is now their arch enemy and must be dealt with as any other outside enemy of the United States. They have pointed out in that language that we have an internal enemy, Sandy, if they're not in agreement with our philosophy, and that internal enemy is the leftist, and they must be dealt with. You know, Gary said we were trying to frighten people. Sandy, all of that verbiage that you read, that if you're not frightened by that, then, you know, I don't know what's going to frighten you. They're setting up an internal war inside of this nation that many people in this nation, Sandy, are not aware of. And many people in this nation who are looking to vote Republican, vote for Donald Trump, don't know that they're lighting the fuse to that thing, Sandy.
Right. I mean, you know, the language in the beginning of it says we solve, they're talking about the problems now, these problems they've described without actually describing them. We solve them not by trimming and reshaping the leaves, but by ripping out the trees, root and branch. Then they go on to say that conservatives have just 2 years and one shot. I guess they're assuming that they only control Congress for 2 years and one shot to get this right. With enemies at home, I guess the enemies are that capital L left, and abroad, there is no margin for error. If we fail, the fight for the very idea of America may be lost.
Those sound like call to war kind of precepts, Sandy. There's no way around that. That's clearly what that is.
Well, and Donald Trump repeats repeatedly, if you don't elect me, we've lost America.
All right. Thank everybody who made the show go. As always, thank you, Sandy. Great stuff. I'll see you again on Friday as we continue this discussion. Thank you, Calvin. You know, we couldn't do it without you guys. Up next, Jane Madnair, Greg Bach, Madnair on Air. See you guys on tomorrow.
Yes, it was mine.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the next Devil's Advocates. We'll review the Sean Hannity interview with Donald Trump. I'm sure he's asking crushing questions like, will you leave the race, sir?
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
I studied that Edward Snowden. You know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.